from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
The first overall selection in the 2021 NHL Draft and the winner of the 2021 Draft Lottery is
The Nightcap with Zach Jones on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones with you for The Nightcap here as we get ready, just about an hour away from the NHL Draft Lottery. Tonight I am joined by the wonderful, the gracious, definitely taking time out of his day, Brayton Wilson, to come hang out with me, talk. We're going to be doing a bit of an extended nightcap tonight to cover the entire NHL draft lottery. Starts at 8, should be done by 8:30, so that's exciting.
It's always one of the more underlying fun nights of the year, the NHL draft lottery. We get to whine and complain about how draft lotteries are the most stupid thing in the whole world and that there shouldn't exist, and it should just be, hey, you finish as the worst team, you get the first pick, just like the NFL.
My thing here with draft lotteries, just to start out right here, I adore them. I absolutely love them. It makes tanking kind of more fun, because even if you don't finish as the worst team, if you tanked hard enough, you've got a shot. It makes everything just feel like it's still a competition all the way to the end, and then it's completely out of your hands. Right at the finish line, it's completely out of your hands. And with the 2023 NHL draft, it is not just a random, oh, he's really good and he's the number one overall pick, but, you know, there is potential that he may miss. It is a guy in Connor Bedard who many compare to the likes of Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and those players. And it is, he's by every metric, a franchise-altering player. And there's a number of teams at the top who really have never had that kind of player.
There's always the concerns that there's going to be these top players like a Bedard or like even a McDavid that, oh, this guy is getting all this tout and talent, but the second he steps into the NHL, it might be an Alexander Daigh or a Patrick Stefan sort of situation where they never transition correctly or they can't deal with the NHL physicality and the speed and everything like that. Well, if you've ever watched any of these top prospects, you know, you see, it translates pretty well with today's style.
I mean,
for the people, because trust me, I heard it plenty when we were talking about the 2015 NHL draft with Connor McDavid and Jack Eichels, where, oh, well, what happens if Connor McDavid comes into the NHL and just doesn't translate? Do you watch the NHL today and do you watch Connor McDavid play and look how it's transitioned 8 years later? Connor McDavid is the best player in the NHL. By far, there's no comparison.
He's running away with it. Leon Draisaitl right now in the playoffs, I believe is 2 points ahead of him in terms of total playoff points scored this season. But McDavid is on another level. Their power play is shooting at 56% right now that they score. I mean, it is unreal what Edmonton has been able to build with really just bringing in McDavid. They get Leon Draisaitl the year prior, third overall. Then they get McDavid the next year at number one. But just unbelievable talent there. The Sabres, though, while technically can win the lottery, they cannot get the number one overall pick. They are at 13. The highest they can go is number three overall. Right now, the team sitting in that spot as we kind of wait it out is the Chicago Blackhawks at one. It is Anaheim, two Columbus, four San Jose, and five Montreal, with teams like Arizona, Philadelphia, and Washington kind of dropping the rest of that top eight. This draft class has been compared to 2015, which is the draft class with McDavid and Eichel. And I think that's where it's still very exciting as a Sabres fan, because there's a real chance here with how good your prospect pool already is that you can add another potential blue chip kind of player, just slots right into an already loaded prospect pool. And we're kind of getting there already with the Sabres, where we already know you're not going to be able to keep all of these forwards that they have drafted over the years. And now, if you add in another guy, let's say they do win the lottery just right off the top and they go third overall, there is another player who many are considering a near generational player in Matvei Michkov. And he is a right winger, left winger. Regardless, he's a winger. And he is a guy that is breaking all kinds of records in Russia, a lot of records that Alexander Ovechkin himself set when he was younger coming up in Russia. I mean, it's just, this class is absolutely loaded, and there is a potential where like a guy like him could fall because of his KHL contract. I believe goes to 2025, 2026. And there's also, you know, there's always the wild card of Russian players of, will they actually want to come over to the States? Will they want to come to the NHL? But Buffalo might be that perfect team for him, where you draft him, you stash him away for 2 or 3 years, let him develop, let him grow into his body, you know, 20, 21 years old when he comes over. And he is like just right from the get-go can kind of come in, kind of like a Kirill Kaprizov does for Minnesota when he finally came over from the KHL. First season, kind of getting used to it, but was still an amazing player right from the get-go for Minnesota. And then by year two, is a 100-point scorer.
Right. With Matvei Michkov, my hot take, and I think I told you my hot take with him earlier this year, was, you know, things were going to play out with the war in Russia, mm-hmm. and his contract in the KHL, with him being over there through 2026. Teams might see that and be like, I don't know how we should do that, how we should go about that, and whether or not they draft him at the top. And just the fact of the matter that he's also kind of a smaller built winger. He's 5'10".
Yes,
he's listed at 148 on eliteprospects.com. I think he's a little bigger than that. But the thing about Michkov is the talent is undeniable with him. The way he skates, the way he sees the ice, he takes command of the game when the puck is on his stick. I mean, just let alone with the performances that he's put up in the past. He put up an under-18 world championship in 2021, 16 points in 7 games, 12 of those were goals. He led the tournament in goals. Not only that, but for his junior team that year, he put up 35 goals, 52 points in 50 games. As a 16-year-old, with the under-16 team, at least with his junior team, he had 109 points, 70 of those were goals in just 26 games. I mean, the talent that he has, the ability for him to be able to take command when the puck is on his stick, his ability to score, his ability to be a playmaker is certainly undeniable. Yes, it's unfortunate that the situation is playing out where he's over in the KHL. There's the controversy, the very big widespread controversy with Russia and their war right now with Ukraine. And also just the fact that he's going to be likely spending time over in Russia throughout the rest of his contract, which makes it another concern of, well, if you draft him this high, do you really think he might hold out and stay in Russia the entire time? Or do you actually believe he's going to come over to the NHL and contribute right away when his contract expires come the 2026-27 season? There's questions there that are certainly needing to be answered. But from my perspective, you cannot pass up on a talented player like Michkov just because of those factors. If you draft him and you take him, you know that if you can get him over here, he might be a dynamic, game-changing player for you, and he might not even have to be on your top line. Say the Sabres win the third pick in the draft lottery, they move up the 10 spots, they sit there at 3, Bedard goes 1, Fantilli goes 2, as expected, then you're sitting there at number 3, and you've got Matvei Michkov on the board? Like, I'm legitimately, if I'm the Sabres, with the given the build that they have right now, he's a guy that you bring him in, and in the 2-3 years or however long he's going to stay over in Russia and continue to develop and then make the jump to the NHL, there's a potential he joins the NHL roster right away and becomes a dynamic playmaker. Probably a Calder Trophy finalist, depending on who else is coming out in that class, could be the Calder Trophy winner just with his ability alone. He is so dynamic, and if the Sabres were able to add him, whether that's the third pick or, if my hot take is correct from earlier this year, he manages to somehow fall down to 13 to the Sabres, fine.
You were so into that, too, when you were talking to me and Josh about it, too, where you're just like, it can happen, and it can. It can. There's a lot of teams at the top of the draft who Michkov has that undeniable ability, but they kind of need like that player now. I think the only team that's down at the bottom that really can kind of stand back, we're going to just keep accumulating young pieces and start rebuilding, is I think Chicago and like San Jose. And we'll see where that kind of winds up with them. But like Anaheim, I think, is going to really want like just that guy now, either be Bedard or Fantilli, which it is likely they have the number one odds that they won't drop down that far. I think they're probably going to be within one or two. But I mean, his ability is so dynamic. And I've read a few things about like if Michkov falls, who's the team that could like, you know, benefit from not even just having him, but who he could benefit from going to. And Buffalo has been a team I keep seeing. And it is partially because the Sabres are really loaded at forward. They can kind of wait you out. They've already got guys like Alex Tuck and Jeff Skinner on that top line with Tage Thompson. They don't need you right away. He can and you can understandably be a little worried about him being 5'10", 148. And like you were saying, he's probably a bit bigger. But when you do look at a guy like Connor Bedard, who's, you know, I got him listed here on Tankathon at 5'10", 185.
Yeah.
There is that fear of like, all right, is he that much smaller than
it
him?
It is quite amazing at the listing, especially for Connor Bedard. Because, yes, he is a little bit of a smaller guy. But he is so strong on the puck. And, yes, it's junior hockey. But the way that he was able to fight off defenders that were significantly bigger than him and be able to just blow by guys with his speed and his skating ability, it just gives you flashbacks to Connor McDavid during his days with the Erie Otters back in 2013, 2014, 2015. He is so dynamic. And when you look at Matvei Michkov, yes, the listing is potentially concerning, but I think overall, if he just adds a little bit more body weight, I mean, if he can get to like a Kirill Kaprizov, I actually want to bring up Kirill Kaprizov and his listing real quick to see if there's what kind of I can't spell real quick.
That's okay.
Sorry,
spelling is difficult.
Sometimes I have the problems that Howard did, where it's like I can't multitask by typing and talking and doing all the stuff. Kirill Kaprizov is 5'10", 202. If Matvei Michkov can be able to get to that sort of body build like a Kirill Kaprizov at 202, with the type of skill that he has, he will exceed Kirill Kaprizov's capabilities. When I was talking back when I was talking to people for the 2021 draft, Sabres were drafting one overall, talking to Owen Power, there was a point where we started to get wind that the 2023 draft, not even 2022, the 2022 draft was good enough, but the 2023 draft, I was asking draft analysts, draft experts about that draft, and a number of them continuously said Connor Bedard is the Sidney Crosby in this draft, and Matvei Michkov is the Alexander Ovechkin in the same draft class. If you have Crosby and Ovechkin going at the top of the class, that's incredible. And the only reason Matvei Michkov at this point is not going to go number two to whoever wins that pick for the draft lottery is solely because he's Russian. There's that Russian factor and the whole situation going on with Russia-Ukraine.
Yeah, you ultimately have just no idea. And honestly, you really have no idea when that's going to kind of be settled, if Michkov will ever even want to come over to the States. By the way, Kirill Kaprizov, 2015 draft as well, in the fifth round
in
the
fifth
Minnesota
round.
Wild.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing, too. And Kaprizov, I believe, was picked in the fifth round sort of because he had that KHL contract. You really didn't know when he would come over. I think he came over at the age of 22, too. So, I mean, like, Minnesota did not see him for quite a while after drafting him.
Yeah.
But you waited out, and now he's kind of the only reason why Minnesota is as good as they are. He really was willing them to wins this past year. He dealt with a few more injuries than last year. Last year, he played 81 games, 101 points this year, or 108 points, excuse me. This year, 67 games played, still 40 goals and 75 points, 25 now. I mean, just if you can get a player like that on the Sabres. And I've talked about how I feel about the Sabres going forward, and it does feel like they are building it truly the correct way, that they've got all these young prospects. They're building that where these guys are coming up together. There's that chemistry really forming. And you look back at a lot of like the great Sabres teams that we do talk about quite often. The 99 Cup Final was essentially Dominic Hasek willing a rather mediocre team to a Stanley Cup Final. It was the hardest working team in hockey, mm-hmm. yes, but they were not that talented. It was Hasek doing the greatest goalie of all time things.
Right.
And then you look at that 05-06, that window, from 04 to like 07, that window, it's just too short. That ultimately, in their primes, it's kind of cut down because, well, ownership and not being able to pay the guys, like that, you know, Chris Drury and Danny Briere, where now you look at the Sabres in their current form, some of the key pieces are already locked into 7-year contracts. And other guys like Devon Levi are coming up, and he's got the potential, based off of everything we saw in college and then the 6-7 games we saw this year, of being the next great Sabres goalie. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Dominic Hasek or Ryan Miller, but at least be the next great Sabres goalie, because this team does seem to always have very good goaltenders when they're good. He has all that potential. This team does seem like 2-3 years away from really being that team that is on top of the world in the East. And if you add a guy like Michkov, or let's say they still win the lottery, or they're able to move up to like 5 or 6, you add in a guy like a Leo Carlson, this almost seems close to unfair. If you're the rest of the league, you'll be looking around going, oh, cool. So when they figure it out, they figure it all out. Awesome. Great.
By the way, you mentioned the leading the scoring for the NHL 1999 Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to take a gander who was the top scorer for the Sabres? It's a tie.
Oh, no.
I am this is just pretty sure
in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Never going to get this. You might. Actually, let me rephrase. You might, but it would take kind of an out-of-the-box
guess. You were so much closer with me not being able to get it. I got to look at the roster just to have some of the names. Ooh, let's see. Where do I want to go with this? Where do I want to go?
I could give you hints if you would like.
Yeah, give me some hints. Yep.
First hint, not a forward.
Well, there goes Satan. Okay, mm-hmm. Sweet.
Miro Satan that year finished with... I got to scroll down a bit. Where is Miro Satan here on this list? He didn't score very much at all. 8 points in 12 games.
Okay, all right.
I think he might have been hurt, though, too, for part of it.
Jay McKee.
No.
Man, this is not
another
going
good
well.
Guess. This
is not going well. I'm like trying to like not see
my
forwards.
My next guess for you will instantly give it away.
Ooh.
Instantly.
Right, give me it, because it may not.
He scored in overtime again in the Stanley Cup Final.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. This is bad.
This is really bad. You should be ashamed.
Because I don't know it. I don't.
Oh my goodness.
All right, who is it? Who is it?
It's Jason Woolley.
How many points did he have?
15 points in 15 points in 21 games.
Oh, Lordy.
He and Alexei Zhitnik were tied for the team lead in points that year. 15 points in 21 games. Not great.
I mean, it's just not good.
A team that made the Stanley Cup Final in 1999 against the Dallas Stars group that comprised of Mike Modano, Joe Neuwendijk, Jamie Langbruner, Brett Hall, Ed Belfour, Yuri Lehtinen. Those are just some of the names. Sergei Zubov was their best defenseman.
So what you're telling me is this is a pretty good team.
That was a pretty good team going up against a Sabres team that was, I think a lot of people could say, mediocre. They got to the playoffs. They found their way into the Stanley Cup Final, and they put up a fight. But
they had a hot goalie.
The Sabres
and that hot goalie. Even on a bad night,
the Sabres had a better chance to win the Stanley Cup in 2006 and didn't even make it to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep,
that's what irritates me the most about that year, is because that team from top to bottom was built exactly at the time of that way, the style of play that they had. That team was built from top to bottom to win the Stanley Cup, and all that took them down was injuries on the blue line. That was it.
Staph infections, baby.
And
lives in infamy.
And I'm telling you what, if Tim Connolly never got the concussion in Game 2 against Ottawa, not only is he a changed man the rest of his career, but that team, the Sabres, might be totally built differently.
We took
if Tim
a
Connolly
number
never
of calls on this station last week, late in the week, due to the anniversary of Game 1 against Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
That what was it?
7-6
game. 7-6,
overtime winner, Chris Drury, yep.
And
Tim Connolly scored twice.
I heard from a lot of people who said very much the same thing, that if Connolly doesn't get hurt, it's like, I don't even care about the defenseman. If Connolly doesn't get hurt, they're winning. And then Bulldog brought up the fact that he was hearing from people during that time as well, that people were saying Connolly might have been the best player in hockey at that point. And it's it is, and that's, but that was my thing with that team. Look how short-lived that is. It is a two-year run. In reality, I give them like 04 to like 07, 08 or whatever, just because there were still pieces there. Obviously, Vanek and Roy and Connolly are still on that team, and you know, Miller's there as well. But it's so short-lived. It is such a flash in the pan shooting star, and that's where the Sabres group feels different. They're already signing in extensions to a lot of the core pieces, and they're long extensions. And it's not like a lot of these players are sitting here going, "Ooh, I wouldn't have signed them to that." Like Cousins gets a 7-year extension, is a 30-goal scorer on a line with two rookies. What's he going to do next year with him being just 21 himself? You have Tage Thompson, who is now a 90-point scorer, maybe the best offensive player the Sabres have had since Danny Briere. I mean, it's arguable with him and Eichel. Eichel got hurt a lot here and was not able to play full seasons, but I mean, there's a reason why Tage is the first 90-point scorer since Briere. And it's so interesting where the Sabres are at now. And that's where, like, even with the Sabres not necessarily being at the top of the draft lottery, we are not in that competition at all, thankfully. Yes, Bedard is amazing, but thankfully that, at least for now, period, feels over with. But for me, a big thing of what I'm paying attention to with this draft lottery is who gets Bedard. Because there are a number of teams in the Eastern Conference who, if he goes there, I love the Sabres' potential. I love their potential of potentially dominating the East for the next 5 to 10 years. But if a Bedard goes to a place like Montreal, that is terrifying. That is, Montreal might be, I think for me at least, the team I very much am looking at going, that is maybe a worst-case scenario. I think reality, that might be a worst case scenario.
Is that the team where you just see the name, or you see the first overall pick goes to the Montreal Canadiens, and you're just like, you cringe inside? Is that like the one where it's like the big bugaboos start to come out?
I think so, because there's other teams I don't want him to go to. Chicago, Arizona, I've mentioned those earlier today when I was on the Extra Point Show in relief for Sal and Joe, who were covering the morning run today. And Arizona, I it's tough for me to take Arizona seriously with them playing in a college arena, and it feels like they're being coddled by the NHL itself with Gary Bettman. So it's tough for me to take them seriously. Chicago, everything behind the scenes there,
yeah,
that karmically deserves to go poorly for them. But Montreal has been a team I've been thinking about a lot today, where I'm just like, ooh, I don't like how that could go. That could very quickly become a big problem for a lot of us, just because they already have a lot of good young talent. They already have a ton of good young talent. And they kind of were passed in terms of the Eastern Conference, the young teams that were getting good. They were kind of passed by Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa. Ottawa and Detroit, I think very specifically last offseason, with Ottawa making a ton of big moves, Detroit having Steve Yzerman, so most of us just believe that they're going to be great very, very soon. And then Buffalo, by the end of this year, very clearly was a top tier young team. Tage Thompson went from, ooh, he might be a one-year wonder, to, okay, we're going to start seeing Mario Lemieux comparisons now.
Right. Well, let's take out of the equation the teams that cannot win the number one pick in this year's draft.
So Ottawa down. So
Ottawa, because if it's a top 10 pick, they go to two.
Yep.
They keep the pick, and then next year's pick goes to Arizona. But if they don't win it, they remain at 12. And their pick goes to Arizona as part of the conditions of the Jacob Chikrin trade. Buffalo can't win. Pittsburgh can't win. Nashville can't win. And Calgary can't win. So that leaves the following teams that can win the number one pick: Vancouver, St. Louis, Detroit, Washington, Philadelphia, Montreal, San Jose, Chicago, Columbus, Anaheim. Anaheim has the best odds at 25.5, number one overall, 25.5%. And Columbus is next at 13.5%. Chicago at 11.5%. And for me, I look at this list of teams that are available to win the number one overall pick, and I see three that I'm okay with. I don't like any of them, but
you're three that you're okay with.
Three that I'm okay with, and the other ones I'm very much just kind of like, wanting to kind of puke in my mouth a little bit. The three teams that I'm fine with him going to: Columbus. I think that probably is my number one team.
We've talked.
If he goes to Columbus, that'd be great. He's in a local market. He's in he's in the United States. You can market him pretty well. You can market the rest of the Blue Jackets and what they're doing, which they're kind of an okay team right now. But if you add Bedard to the mix, they'll probably be better. San Jose is my next team. Again, mm-hmm. another U.S. market. Let's just start here. The thing of it is, don't let Bedard go to another Canadian market. Don't let him go to another Canadian market. We saw what happened with Connor McDavid going to Edmonton and how at the time NBC was promoting it all. And it was just like, they don't want to put him on national TV. Why? Because it's Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. It's great. It's Western Conference too. It's the only thing that's bad about the San Jose situation is that that's the West Conference. It's going to be 10 o'clock starts every night for them when they're at home. It's not great.
It's not good.
But it's an it's a U.S. market, so it's like, okay, fine, whatever. And honestly, my third pick, I don't even know.
I have surprised I said that I'm kind of liking now.
I said three. Anaheim is okay, but they got Zegras already. They got McTavish. They got a bunch of other guys that are really young, good, fun. Adding Bedard, okay, sure, but I mean,
give me St. Louis here. Give me St. Louis.
Why?
Here. That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. I kind of like the idea of St. Louis jumping all the way up. That would be good.
St. Louis is just boring to me.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about them until I'm looking now at the top 10, and I'm like,
The NHL would love
be good.
The NHL would love these markets to have Connor Bedard as their number one pick. Chicago.
Absolutely.
Obviously. Montreal. Obviously. Yep. Despite them being a Canadian market, Montreal still is one of the biggest hockey markets in the entire world. Why not? Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Yep. They would love that. And probably Washington and Detroit.
Oh, I hate the idea of Washington. Sneaky Joe put up a tweet this morning saying that that was his number one team to get him. I didn't listen to
Why?
The segment.
Because he plays with Ovechkin?
I think it's a part of it. Is like, probably. You know for a fact, number one, Washington will be able to stay competitive, but then...
He's just going to set up Ovechkin to score all the goals.
And Ovechkin, we know, will
And
will
break the record easily.
Which I think we're kind of at a point now. I don't want to say it's likely, but I think we're all kind of like under the assumption it will happen eventually.
Absolutely, 100%. I would think so. Given the contract that he has, given the rate that he's still putting up goals.
And kind of the way he plays as well. He's not destroying his body out there to get goals.
Well, listen, he goes out there and he still runs his body around like he did as an 18-year-old by throwing big body checks and willing to go that style of play. You think that maybe in the later years he starts to smarten up and not go that hard every time and maybe not take those hits or go out and throw those hits. But at the same point, as long as he's not getting injured and he's continuously doing it with success, why not continue to play that way?
Yeah, why change it? Why
until change literally it? Your body can't take it anymore and it's just a matter of, I'm trying to play just to score all the goals and that's it.
He gives me Yamir Yager vibes where like he's going to be like 45 and he's still in Washington, like still scoring goals. It may dip now to like 20, 25, but he's still going to be doing
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, I think Ovechkin will get it in the next... 3 years.
3 years? That
makes
sense. Yeah.
I think by that would be 23, 24, 24, 25. Probably by the 25-26 season, he'll get there.
Okay.
I got to bring up his totals real quick just to see where he's at right now.
Just to make sure.
Alex Ovechkin right now is at 822 goals. He needs 894, 895, one of those. So, he put up 42 this year. You put up 40 in the next 2 he could get it in 2 years.
Yep, he could.
At the very least, he's going to get it in 25-26, and it could be as early as the 24-25 season. If he scores two more 40-goal campaigns, that's 80 goals. That would give him 902 goals in his career, which is well beyond Gretzky. Yep.
I like it.
It's
like it.
Very possible
in
the next 2 years.
I think that's definitely the interesting idea to have Connor Bedard there. For me, at least, they fall into the same situation for me of like Detroit and even a Pittsburgh if they were high enough to do this. You were good for a long time. You've had that generational talent. I'd like someone else to have that guy in their jersey. I really, really would. I'm about the kind of the parity of the league and teams being able to have these stars that just become icons in their city. Like Columbus to me really is, that's the team I want. I will actively be really happy.
I'd be fine with that too.
They're in the East and that kind of sucks, but I would be all about it, I think.
I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with him going to a Metro team, even if it's the Flyers. I really kind of
that would be such a culture clash.
Oh, my God.
That would be fun.
John Tortorella.
He's going to pull off of Michigan, and Torts is going to absolutely lose his mind. It's going to be great.
When you come back, you want to do a draft drill?
Let's do it.
All right.
We're going to come right back. We are taking your calls at 803-0550 after this quick timeout. This is the NHL Draft Lottery Special of the Nightcap, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.